Now, in our next segment, we're going to talk about potential equitable defenses that a tenant may have and a landlord may face in an eviction hearing. What does that mean, equitable defenses, Eric?
Well, courts in Ohio have two types of power. One is a legal power, that is the ability to order somebody to pay a certain amount of money from one person to another. But the second type of power is the power of equity, an equitable power, which is the court's ability to compel someone to do something. A common example of that would be, let's say, a union is breaking the law by improperly picketing in front of a store that they're on strike about, and the court would then use its equitable power to issue an injunction saying to the labor union, do not do this or we'll find you in contempt of court. Another example of the court's equitable power would be an eviction. If all goes well, the court is going to order that the tenant vacate the premises. And the court has ways, through the bailiff, of forcing the tenant out. So here we're in an eviction action, it's an equitable use of the court's power, and therefore the court is ordering the tenant to get out and enforcing that order through the strong arms of the bailiff.
And what are some of those equitable defenses?
Well, the reason that equitable defenses are important is because there's an old saying in equity court that to get equity, you must do equity. In other words, you must come to the court with clean hands. So one of the first equitable defenses that you hear the most about is what's called unclean hands. In that situation, the tenant is saying, Your Honor, there is something that the plaintiff, the landlord, has done that has caused all this problem in the first place. It's his own bad acts that have given rise to all this. Therefore, he should not be able to come in and get the use of the court's equitable power. And if the court believes the tenant on that, then the tenant may have the equitable defense that the landlord has unclean hands. Let me give you an example of that. Let's say that the landlord is complaining that the tenant did not pay the rent, but the tenant can show that the landlord went to the tenant's employer and spread vicious rumors and gossip about how the tenant was paying his rent with stolen items from, let's say, the store or the employer's address, and none of that is true, but it got the tenant fired. And now, because the tenant's been fired, he doesn't have the money to pay the rent. Well, here we have an equitable defense that the tenant can maintain by saying, Your Honor, the only reason we're here in the first place is because this crazy landlord went in and caused all these problems. That would be an equitable defense of unclean hands. Another equitable defense is what's called waiver. It's also called latches and estoppel in slight variations. One of the most commonly seen waiver defenses is when, let's say, the lease says that the rent must be paid on the first of each month. And on several months, the tenant pays on the first. But then a few months later, the tenant pays on the eighth. And the landlord takes that payment without any protest. And then the landlord the next month, the tenant pays on the sixth, then on the tenth, then on the fifth, and just then maybe again on the first, but just there's just a history of payments where the tenant does not pay on the first, but rather pays shortly thereafter, and the landlord doesn't make any bones about it, just takes the money without protest. What that does is it sets up in the tenant's mind that there's this course of conduct which is contrary to the lease, but it's acceptable to the landlord. And the court is, if the tenant brings that up to the magistrate at the eviction hearing and says, Your Honor, I pay the rent late all the time and this guy never has any problem, then all of a sudden I pay it on the second and boom, he pulls the rug out from under me and says, this is an eviction, that's not fair. Well, then the court will probably turn to the landlord and say, is this true you've been accepting rent like this late on all these times? Well, yes, Your Honor. Well, then the tenant is going to probably prevail on that eviction because the magistrate will find that the landlord and the tenant engaged in a course of conduct which is contrary to the written terms of the lease, and as such, the landlord has waived the written terms of the lease requiring strict compliance with the prompt payment section of the lease.
Concerning that, not necessarily an equitable defense, but related to when is a rent payment late You would think that would be a relatively simple matter, but a lot of leases read that rent is due and payable on or before the first of the month. After the fifth of the month, a late fee of X amount of dollars will apply. And there's some ambiguity there as to, is any rent that's proffered by the tenant after the first but before the end of the day on the fifth, is that still considered late rent?
Well, the court, in looking at a lease agreement, is always going to try to understand what the intent of the parties was. And in a situation like that, it might be argued, it's a little ambiguous. I mean, the landlord who's seeking to evict somebody for trying to pay on the third, even though the lease says that they have until the fifth before it's late, the landlord is going to say, well, you know, no, it says the first, and I can put a late penalty after that, but it doesn't mean I have to accept their payment on the third. And then the tenant's going to say, well, that's not what I understood it to mean. I understood it to mean that I could pay any time before the fifth. And so the judge or the magistrate who's looking at that is going to say, gee, is the landlord's interpretation reasonable? Okay, maybe it is. And is the tenant's interpretation reasonable? Yes, the tenant's interpretation is reasonable as well. Well, in a situation where both the landlord and the tenant have reasonable interpretations of a clause that's kind of unclear, then the court's going to say, who wrote this lease? And then usually that means the landlord's going to kind of raise his hand. And then the court's going to say, well, Mr. Landlord, you lose. Because the agreements in Ohio are strictly construed against their drafters. The person who wrote the lease was in the best position to say what they meant, to speak clearly on this. And if that person who wrote the lease did not speak clearly, the court is not going to hold that against the other party. He's going to hold it against the person who wrote the lease.
Now, I've had experience to the contrary, where the court found that language that rent is due on or before the first meant that any rent offered by the tenant after the first was late rent, and the tenant or the landlord didn't have to accept it, and the landlord could proceed with an eviction. So courts can come out different ways on this, and as I'm sure they have.
And keep in mind, in my hypothetical there, I was assuming that the court looked at the tenant's interpretation and found it to be reasonable. Some judges might not think that a tenant reading that same clause, no, that's not a reasonable interpretation. And if the court decides that the tenant's ideas there and interpretation of that clause is not reasonable, then we're not going to get into that who drafted the lease part.
Then back to our equitable defenses, the last area we wanted to go over was the saying basically that equity abhors a forfeiture. And Eric, can you shed some light on what that means?
Yes, there are some breaches of the lease which don't really damage a landlord in any way. For instance, there is a case here in Franklin County called Zanetos versus Sparks Realty. And what had happened in that case was that a tenant had been renting a place for several years, and he had signed a long-term lease, and the landlord sold the house to a new owner without telling the tenant. And the new owner wasn't very prompt in coming in and telling the tenant, hey, don't send the rent to the old owner, Frank so-and-so, you should send it to the new owner, and that's us. They didn't do that in a very timely fashion, and then they tried to evict the tenant for not paying rent on time. Well, in that case, the court said equity abhors a forfeiture, and that we didn't really have a material breach of the lease here because it was the landlord's own conduct which caused the problem, because the tenant didn't know who to pay. Now, reading between the lines, of course, it looked pretty clear like the new owner wanted to take this place free of any obligations that the previous owner had, and the court wasn't going to allow them to do that through the artifice of this failing to inform the tenant of where to send the rent and then trying to zap the tenant for not paying on time. So if there's any way that a court can find that the tenant has either made the landlord whole, or that the lease breach that the landlord is complaining about is not really anything that's a big deal and that the landlord is just being too hyper-technical here, the court may fall back on that language and say equity abhors a forfeiture and we're not going to grant an eviction, in other words, a forfeiture, based upon such a scant little insignificant breach as what we see here. Further, there's also a way of waiving your 3-day notice if you accept future rent after you've posted your 3-day notice. Now, let's say that the rent is due on the first of the month and the tenant is late and comes in on the 10th and tries to pay rent. Well, you can accept the rent on the 10th, even though you've already posted your 3-day notice, because the rent already became due on the 1st. Let's say we're talking about the month of February. But then March rolls around, and if you accept March's rent too after you've posted the 3-day notice, now you're in trouble. Now you've waived your 3-day notice because you have accepted rent for the future, not a rental obligation that's already due. One other thing I wanted to mention too, when we talked about the previous situation where a tenant had a history of paying late and the landlord had a history of accepting it without protest, if the landlord wants to get rid of that course of conduct, if he wants to absolve himself and no longer be bound by that course of conduct, what he needs to do before he files the eviction, the next eviction action, is he needs to send the landlord, he needs to send the tenant a letter saying, "Dear tenant, in the past, I know I've accepted rent late without protest. That's all in the past. That's fine and good. I'm not complaining about that. But in the future, be on notice that I want the rent on the first of the month, just like the lease says. And so starting this coming month, that's when I want the rent paid." That's called a letter of strict compliance. And now if you go in and file an eviction because the tenant paid on the 10th instead of the 1st, and the tenant tries to bring out this thing about, "Oh, I've paid rent late time and time again and he's never protested," you can pull out that letter of strict compliance and say, "Your Honor, I sent him a letter of strict compliance and that forestalled that course of conduct. That's no longer a waiver."
And obviously a landlord would want to send that letter of strict compliance via certified mail return receipt requested and keep a copy so that the tenant, if the tenant says, "Well, I never got that letter," the landlord has a way of proving that the tenant did get the letter.
Exactly.